Hello, and thank you for choosing this Analyst Insight podcast from the Information Security Forum. Hello to everyone who is tuning in regularly to listen. I hope we are managing to keep you entertained and informed as we experiment with different formats and ideas. There's plenty of variety to come over the next few weeks and months. Thanks for the continued support. Tell your friends, tell your colleagues. Why should you have all the fun? We do want these podcasts to handle lots of different issues. So if there is an information security topic you think we should pursue, or you have questions and comments on what we've already covered, then by all means, let us know. Contact details are on the Audioboom page where every episode is available. This episode is another in the series that we've been doing that is examining information security careers and sort of pathways into them. This week is about security auditing. We'll be talking to some experts in the field to find out what it's all about, how it is developing, and perhaps how many clipboards they have. Feels like the kind of job where you'd be ticking things off. My name is Mark Ward. I'm a senior research analyst at the ISF, and I am looking forward to this conversation because I don't know a great deal about this career path. A couple of weeks ago, I did the CISM training course. I'm just about to take the exam for that, and that did touch on assurance and auditing a bit, but I'm sure it didn't give it as, well, it certainly didn't give it as comprehensive a look as we're going to do today. So yeah, I'm curious about what exactly is involved in this profession. Here to help is Bharat Thakrar, a principal at the ISF, who is also the driving force behind this series. Hello, Bharat.
Hi, Mark. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Yep. Good to see you again. Have you had any connections with auditing? I think you have. Yes, no?
I have, actually, Mark. I think this is a fascinating career. Actually, in my very early days, I did do a stint at security auditing, and I did find it was really diverse. It allowed you to engage with different teams in an organization. And essentially, what you're trying to do is to try and problem solve for them. You are part of that partnership to try and help them figure out what are the weaknesses. And it's excellent for career advancement. You know, it's a really excellent foundation if you want to then progress onto other roads in security. So I think it's an excellent career.
Yeah. I think I did some work on governance a couple of years ago. I sort of kept up an interest in that. And there's certainly that far end of governance, if you like, is all about assurance and auditing and, making sure that good things are happening. So yeah, I'm curious about this, definitely. Here to help us understand what it's all about are three auditors. I've got Aarti Ajay. Hello, Aarti.
Hi.
Good to have you here. I've got Inat Sagal. Hello, Inat.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And Deepak Uniyal as well.
And hello.
So, Bharat, I don't know if you want to quickly talk about auditing. I'll bring Deepak in here as well, because I think you've been working in that sort of sphere for a while.
Yeah, so I think, actually, I think it might be an excellent idea for Deepak to give us an overview, him being the senior auditor here.
Yeah, head of IT audit for BNP in the UK. Yeah, definitely go for it.
So I'll just give you some background of my career, maybe that gives some context here. So it's been around 23 years in the industry. Half of my career, you can say, was in what is called first line of defense in any financial organizational context. First line means we are the frontline people operating the controls to mitigate the risks. You can say IT operations, security operations, and all the development that happens. So half of my career in the first line, and then half of my career is what is called assurance functions mixed with second line of defense and third line of defense. Second line of defense means risk management. Third line of defense in a typical financial organization means audit. So that's a short introduction. Currently, I'm working as you said, head of IT and cyber audit. For BNP, and I manage the UK territory in that capacity. Now, what is audit and what is the career? I think, as Bharat rightly said, it's a fascinating career choice. In essence, if I were to simplify what is information security audit is, what you are doing as auditors are giving your independent opinion through the board that how well are cyber security risks or information security risks managed in the organization. That's in a nutshell what audit is doing.
That's quite a big task though. I guess for a large organization, there's a lot to take into account and a lot of, because what emerged in the the training course I did was just, you know, was talking about logs and talking about all the information that's being gathered. But I guess, Artie, you're nodding your head there. So your experience of auditing is a lot of that interpreting of information, I guess.
Yeah, and actually for me, the way it started, so just to give a brief introduction of myself, I'm an IT audit manager for Just Group PLC. But before that, I was like how Deepak mentioned in the first line, the first 5 years of my career. Then I decided to switch on because I found it very intriguing to be an auditor. So I decided to shift after 5 years of being in industry, you know, doing the control. Then I said, okay, let me go to the other side of the table and see how it looks like. So I started with my career in audit in PwC, and where I got a chance to be an external auditor and also, you know, look at business processes and IT controls. We call it IT general controls. And then I moved country. So 2012, I moved to UK. I continued with the Big Four environment. But then I thought, you know, I asked myself, do I really want to do this or go and help a company? So I decided to join an insurance setup, spent about 7 years with them, try to understand the environment there. And then, you know, again, moved into internal audit. So here, this career is so interesting that you can be an external auditor or an internal auditor, because internal auditor is more of throwing insights to the management. It's part of the organization. There is a genuine interest to add value to what you do and help their risk framework, you know. So that's how it intrigued me to be an internal auditor. And then I moved to Just Group. It's a pension company. Again, it gives me kind of the reason why I'm here is to help the organization to have better control environment. Whether end of the day, if it's like, you know, most of the companies where we have worked or, you know, given consulting work, they are listed entities. They have a lot of regulatory responsibilities, right? So that's how it's very intriguing, that career.
Right. And Enad, if I can bring you in here, am I right in thinking you've recently moved into audit, or is it, I'd be curious about your background as well.
Actually, I think I've tricked you all. I'm not an auditor. I've never been an auditor.
Okay.
I just passed audits as the person okay. who puts in the security controls, or right. the person who is working towards getting an organization accredited or certified for a particular cybersecurity right. framework.
Uh-huh.
But I've worked a great deal with auditors. And I more often than not, they were my partners in the journey. And I've leveraged auditors to forward a security agenda and kind of focus the discussion around the things that I needed to achieve in order to secure whatever organization I was working with.
Right. Okay. So you've lots of experience with auditors and the work they do. Barrett.
So I think that shows really that people in security actually do need to work closely with auditors. And some of the career paths that Arthi and Deepak mentioned, I think it touches on some of the key skills that we need across security. So analytical thinking, if you like, you know, that is one of the core aspects of a career in auditing, but also being able to communicate effectively yeah. and trying to get into that, getting under the skin of what that issue is, or that attention to detail. These are essentials, I think. And then finally, as I was saying, you know, problem solving. So I think this skill set itself, you know, you've got to get your head around that if you want to succeed in this career, but also they are a fantastic springboard for other when someone actually then gets moves to other roles within cybersecurity. So I think an excellent foundation, and all about just highlighting that.
I think that in security, auditing is a skill. So if you're an incident responder, you have to understand audit logs. If you are doing third-party risk, you have to be able to audit a different organization through very, very little information and understand what risk they pose to you. There are so many paths in security that require audit as a skill. And there are so many points where you will come across auditors and they will either be a headache or your best friend.
Right. Deepak, I just wonder sort of your experience of this, because I guess for a lot of, I think as Artie said, a lot of financial organizations have a lot of compliance responsibilities, but does it go further than that? I guess you're a diplomat and ambassador across the organization as well.
Yes, I think I'll just pick on what Inat said, that when they can become headache. And this you can say it's, sometimes there is apprehension as well. And this is a usual response from the stakeholder, which I think as auditors or fraternity of auditors, we have to make sure that we have to educate the stakeholder, because, you know, it comes, it's like a curse of the job that you're not very much liked. Nobody likes auditors in their doors. So basically, this is the educational part when you work with collaboratively with stakeholders and add value to their control environment, to their risk management framework. It's all about giving them insights which they don't know. That is the value you produce by doing audit, because you know most of the times, on a larger level, higher level management knows broader issues, but to basically synthesize them and seeing them from a different angle and give them that the holistic view produces some deep insights. I think that is the responsibility of an efficient audit function, efficient auditor.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask the three of you, how well, what sort of depth of knowledge you need on terms of the regulatory aspects, you know, because we've got regulations changing all the time, new compliance requirements coming in, and it's something that you've got to keep up on a regular basis. So how much of your work requires you to do that? How do you actually do keep up with the current and new regulations that come through? Arti, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so for me, it was like we picked up on the job. So for my career, when I started, I was from an accounting background. So obviously, there were some regulations which I kind of learned during my college days. And then when you go practically on the field, actually trying to, you have to read it on a regular basis. And then luckily, when you're in a Big Four setup, they kind of regularly train you. They have these sessions. They, you know, obviously you have the joining training, but then ongoing is something you have to, as a team, we used to huddle and understand if there is any regulatory changes. For example, the classic is the 27001, which has undergone a huge change and everybody is trying to adapt that. So how do you, you go to a lot of these conferences, you have these webinars to attend. So that is a new, I think off late, like last 10 years with technology getting advanced, you can get updated. You don't really need to obviously read the book every time, but there are some these live sessions which a lot of companies now do it, which is very advantageous to leverage. And then you have your forums. You get into the forums and you have security forums where you can be participating. That's how you enhance your knowledge in terms of regulations. And as you go along, you have to keep reading, because as auditors, I have very limited choice. Not to say I don't know what the regulation means, but that's how I have kept myself updated so far.
Yeah, I think as Arti said, it's inherent in the job. It's our responsibility to go through the regulations that are in action, and also sometimes what we receive is that we have to comment on the drafts as well. For example, the UK government is working on artificial intelligence framework. Yeah. And that might turn into sort of law in future. So whenever regulators conduct these exercises, they don't release the regulations directly without consultation. So there are a lot of rounds of consultation with financial institution. If it is a financial regulation, people have chance to comment on them. That's the way you can get a glimpse of what is coming and also comment on that. And then it's a part of job. It's not something different. We have to keep ourselves updated in learning about these new regulations and how can we introduce those controls and risks which they are talking about and enhance our audit testing strategies as well.
Right. I just wanted to pick up on something Artie said. Do you all have an accountancy background? Or I guess, Barrett, we should stress that I guess you don't need that background. And if it's about problem solving and some of that diplomacy and some of those other softer skills, then it's not all about those particular professional qualifications.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to understand what are the pathways into this career. What were the prerequisites you needed, or was it less of an issue? Obviously, accountancy isn't a necessary requirement, but what would be good foundation skills to have, foundation certifications or education to have as an entry point to into a career in this area?
So I think for me personally, what happened was it was a kind of a organically switching to this career. It was not a planned career path for me at all. So I just fell into it, I would say. So though I said I have an accountancy background, I always worked with chartered accountants throughout my career. In the beginning, like first 5 years of my career, I worked with them. So I kind of knew what the chartered accounting area looked like. And then when I decided to be part of a chartered accountant company like PwC, I got recruited not because I was in the accounting background, because I had worked in companies which had diverse skill set, like process re-engineering was my previous experience, project management was my previous experience. And that is how the person who selected me said that since you had these different career paths, we wanted to bring in like a person like you to start of the career. So that's how I got a chance. But usually you would see in the Big Four, you don't get called in if you're not a chartered accountant. So that was a culture long back. It's not anymore. Things have changed. There's so much automation, as you see, with the organization adopting technologies like cloud and AI and more to come kind of things. So you cannot have a very strict background of you have to be this, but having like a diverse skill set would always be preferred candidate. So for me, when I'm recruiting today for my team, I would look for what that person has done in terms of, yeah, certainly I would want them to have a little bit of audit background if they can, or they can get into some ISACA kind of certification where they allow, IT audit certification. So you could have a certification, but when it comes to practicality, you do need some kind of a coaching and mentoring to be done initially. And I think people who have that will also to learn would be a good candidate, I would say, to get into this career.
So I think a lot of people have those, that sort of problem solving, diplomacy, technical skills, and like I say, that will, that curiosity as well, as much about anything else. And that's, yeah, there's a lot of, because we certainly talked to quite a few companies who have kind of run out of road when it comes to recruiting people with technical backgrounds and particularly information security backgrounds. And actually, they've gone beyond that to other places, some of those humanities graduates and interns and things, and they prove really useful because, of course, they have those problem-solving skills and they have some of the softer ones. And actually, the different view they bring to the organization is really helpful. Deepak?
Yeah, Mark, as you mentioned that, that now the information security audit streaming, I think the net has widened. So you have two auditors who are from different background. I am a completely different background. My background, as I said, my first 10, 12 years were purely technical. And that's how I got interested in auditing, going the other side of the table and adding value from a different perspective to the organization I work for. So that is a second stream which you can take to be But what I will say is that in information security audit, I would emphasize, and maybe I'll deviate a little bit what Arati was saying, that for me, the fundamentals are very important, the technical aspect as well. So what happens if you have a technically strong auditor in information security, you can build good rapport with the stakeholders immediately. So because you can understand their and empathize as well their situations. You know? So I would say, I would emphasize when I recruit out, you know, focus on these fundamentals, what technical skills and course auditing, and Bharat has already spoken about the soft skills aspect.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Inat, because I think, Inat, you were dropped in at the deep end, requiring you to do a 27001 audit. Is that right?
Yeah, so actually the auditor saved me big time there. And that really defined my relationship going forward with auditors. It's not always possible to, back to the first question, it's not always possible to know what you're doing before you do it. And sometimes you have to learn on the go. And sometimes there's no orderly way to get a skill, to get certified. There's no real path. It's just, you know, some trail that the trees make, and you just have to follow it, you know, and tread on some plants in the way. And it's not as neat or tidy, but it gets you to where you need to go. I do believe that when it comes to, you know, looking past technical skills, so a lot of technical people are great with understanding how a network works, but they don't really understand how risk works.
Okay.
Auditors are very good at connecting the problem to the risk. And sometimes if you try to just focus on all the technical issues, then you will miss the point. So that's where the importance of this job role, job path, career path, comes in.
So I wonder if one of the problems, I think Deepak, you sort of talked about this, just is audit a bit of a problem? The name, that if you're an auditor, that's quite a stern thing. And I suppose, is it actually a different kind of thing you're doing? Because like you say, you're trying to solve problems, you're trying to connect that problem to the risk, as Inat said. So is it, I mean, should it have a different name, or is it a case of, well, that's part of what you do as well. You try and convince people that you're not going to come in and slap their hands away from the keyboard. You're going to say, this is how you solve the problem. This is the data that backs up how we do these kinds of things.
I think throughout my career, I have been sort of beating the drum that the audit, and there is apprehension. The word audit, you know, raises alarms in people's mind. Whenever I speak to my stakeholders and spoken to stakeholders, my only message is that we play for the safety, but we have different methods. What we are here to not hinder point or not be a headache to you. It'll be intense. As Inat already mentioned, that we focus on risk. Sometimes, you know, the management is firefighting. They have to resolve existing issues. They have to also address the technical advancements, and they have to compete as well. So they are juggling a lot of balls. Maybe they are not privy to the you know, risk and that synthetic holistic you know, view. That's where we come in, and it also depends on stakeholder themselves. Some, you know, you will get people who are most welcoming to the audit and they see the value. Some people in highly, you know, especially startups and technology companies, they can also perceive audit as barriers to innovation. Because they see that they slow down our speed. So it is all about, you know, balance, and it's all about giving the right messages.
So I think what we're touching here is on the dark side of audit. So when there's a disconnect between the questions the auditor is asking and the problem. So sometimes audits can go wrong. Sometimes audits could blindside you from what actually needs to be looked at. From the perspective of somebody being audited, so the philosophy is answer only the question asked. Not don't say less, don't say more. And that dynamic can cause a lot of problems, as you can imagine.
Yeah, because I would have thought as well, you know, to your point, Deepak, about talking about playing for the same team. But yeah, there must be times when you do have to have difficult conversations, and people are trying to do something, and you have to say, look, it's just not working, or the risks are just outweighing what benefit you're trying to get. Arti, I don't know if you've got your view on that kind of thing.
I like the way Anit put it across, and also how Deepak mentioned it. And the biggest challenge what we face always is, I don't really get budgets based on audit issues. That's how people come across sometimes. But sometimes I've also seen organizations where they say, if you can help us in a way to get enough budget to go and implement this control or the risk, to address this risk, it will be good if you can highlight it in the audit report. So I've seen two extremes where people want us to help them out, and also because a lot of times organizations tie it against your, you know, promotions, bonus, and those aspects, right? Which is very dear to everyone, right? So it's a bit, double-edged sword kind of thing where, you know, as auditor, I have to, you know, I always say this, I'm a nice person. My report may not be nice, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I always say this, I put this caveat because I have a genuine interest to help you, but it's I cannot write that too much. We do have, like, you know, the way you write the good practices, what you follow, we do appreciate them. But end of the day, we need to make sure we are not very close with the management. At the same time, we are independent, you know, that's important.
Yeah, I think that objectivity is important. But it surprises me slightly that people are, like you say, worried about the auditors turning up and knocking on the doors and opening up the cupboards. Because one of my colleagues, Paul Watts, on the research team, has written a whole series about leadership and how you need, one of the driving forces of that is trying to make sure that the business understands the value of information security and, by implication, everything else the organization is doing. And if they don't understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and how effective it is, then perhaps they shouldn't be doing it. And I think that's the sort of the core of a lot of information security barrier. I don't know, I guess that's a perennial problem, but I hopefully assurance audit would help with that.
Yes, I think, as we said before, it has to be seen as a partnership, so that the audit function is seen as providing value that advances the organization. And I think here, as Arti said, you know, that you need a level of independence so that it can be seen, you know, the evidence is there to point to a weakness that's been identified, a non-compliance or something like that. And there is opportunity to make that correction. And in fact, if that does happen in the allocated time, then the whole organization will become more resilient over a period of time. So I think if you see this as a cycle, that you've got to do this on an ongoing basis, then, you know, you can see the improvement that the organization goes through.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's certainly some quite rewarding aspects of that, that you can help the organization change and improve. I mean, that's got to be a fulfilling thing in your career, definitely. But I just wanted, one thing I did want to try and explore, if we could, is sort of if someone were to become an auditor, sort of the first couple of years in the trade, what would they be doing? Would it be some of the ISO type things, or would it be, I don't know, Deepak, I don't know how you organize your teams, but yeah, if you've got some new starters, what do you get them doing in the first couple of years?
The first and foremost thing for any newcomer, what we do is educate them about what is risk and what is control, what is inherent risk, and what is residual risk. If these four concepts are clear as fundamental in any new starter's mind, then we can start the journey of specific risks and controls to mitigate them, and how to then comment on the inherent and residual risks on those particular cybersecurity or information security areas. Then you had, we talk about writing skills, which is very understated, but very important in our, this field. You have, especially the technology and information security auditors, they have to translate the technical mumbo-jumbo into proper business language, because you will be interacting with semi-technical or non-technical business stakeholders, and you have to say a lot in a very direct and succinct way. And that is the key skill, which is very understated for me. I think it's most important soft skill to have.
Just to go hand in hand with what Deepak is saying, it'd be interesting to know what qualification or certification, Deepak, you'd suggest to your team. Is it the ISACA CISA? Is that the main one in the industry? And you know, how effective is that? How useful is that?
So for me, if that is a foundational certificate, CISA certification is one of the foundational certification. Then if you want to go wide into technical knowledge, I would recommend CISSP as a certification. Very useful. I've done it. And they say that it's a mile wide and inch thick, but it gives you a lot of information, technical information, and it's a very useful certification to have. Then you can go into, you know, specializations. You can go into AWS security certification, Azure, and then you can go vendor-based certifications. And then you have ethical hacking. What I tell my team is, if we have to be auditors, but we have to think like hackers as well.
Yeah, I wanted to reiterate the importance of writing skills. So actually, you mentioned that I was thrown into the deep end. So how I found myself in that situation was that I was fresh out of the military. So I was known for having technical skills, but one of the things I was known for was to be very good at chatting with people and to be very good at writing. Those were the other things that, more than my technical skills, everybody knew about me. And that was how I was recommended to do this piece of work for a VCSO. And the VCSO basically deserted me there on the field alone, me and the auditor and this organization that thought I was a subject matter expert, where my only expertise was, you know, to put a document together. And that those are skills that, you know, we all know language, we all learn how to write an essay, but they shouldn't be underestimated ever.
Useful skills, definitely. Yeah, because I think there is that, again, that sort of ambassadorial diplomatic translation job as well. You're sitting at an interesting point in a lot of organizations. All right.
Inet, what you also said was that what determines success is your passion. You can't fake it. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, that's actually one of the things I've seen through my career. So this is not when I was thrown into the water. Is that there are people who are good at doing a function and they have their value, but I guess they're not the ones who will break in. Maybe they had luck, maybe they just, you know, fell into it. But the people who break in as a hiring manager are the ones who come to you and they have a burning desire for this subject. And you can tell right away. You can't fake that these people are actually learning about cybersecurity, not for a certification, not because it's a career path, but because it's really something that interests them. And it's not something that, you know, somebody will come into an interview and say, oh yeah, I'm so interested in this, I do this in my personal time. That doesn't work. It's actually people who can demonstrate this knowledge without telling you. So show me before you tell me.
Just to find out where this career path leads to. So it'd be good to hear from all our guests as to what would be, If you were asked to change your career now, based on what you know, what would you go for? So what is this an excellent entry into?
So what happens is once you are working with audit as an auditor, external, internal, the next best space to go is to go in line two, where you can go into the enterprise risk. You can also go, especially for me, I have two choices. I could go for a CISO role, which is, again, you get more close to understanding the security posture and, you know, go into that role in more detail. You kind of evaluate the CISO role as part of your audit. But I think the second line becomes very interesting. Because I came from first line, went to third line, and then I wanted to do second line but didn't get that opportunity. But I think the second line is the more... And I think Deepak has come from second line to audit, right? So he can actually say that difference, what you see from a second line coming into third line, it's a quite a huge change. But at the same time, there's a lot of things he would have understood in terms of risk, which he can help focus auditors to achieve how we can help the organization. So that is a huge advantage, I think, when you shift between, the lines, what you get, you know, three line of defense. That is very intriguing as a, you know, as an individual to challenge yourself. I would say it that way.
Yeah, I'll just add to it. What I see is there are two career paths. One is if a person is interested in audit, they can be career auditors and then go from auditor, senior auditor, then they can audit managers, and then they can be chief auditors at the top. And then the second threshold people are like me. I look at career as I like to lead, and that's why leadership is most important area for me to explore. I find it very interesting, and audit gives a person those views, that independent views, there and you can become a big picture person and understand the problems and the risks the organization is facing, how they can solve it. I think better part of leader, especially I can talk about BNP part. If you see, a lot of top leadership is coming from audit. And that's where I think audit function and auditors can help society and industry at large. That's how I would see as a 360 degree career, which audit can provide an individual.
Yeah, my advice would be, if you find something that interests you, something that, you know, you can do as your job and earn money for it, and you you're happy to do it every day, don't try to look at a certain job title as your goal. Just, you know, find the environment you want to work in, find the work you want to do, find something that makes you feel valued and rewarded. I think a really big mistake that a lot of people do is that they put some kind of goal, some kind of job title as, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to do. But the job title is different. The job itself will be different from organization to organization. And it's more important to feel satisfied and to do something that is interesting than get that title.
Yeah, I have. If you focus on what you like, what you want to learn, and curiosity drives your career, you'll be much in a much better place. What I see, and one of the best part of audit is that you can see, and I've worked in all lines of defense, so to speak now, first line, second and third. What the best thing about audit is that you can see the impact you are making very directly, in a short span of time, which other jobs may or may not provide. they're in audit, it becomes very clear.
Yeah, I think that, I definitely the discussion is certainly, given that, exposed that view that sort of, I think the how much difference assurance audit can make to an organization. And I think as well, that's sort of, something that isn't quite understood. And certainly when I did the work on governance, it was that we depicted it as a process and a cycle, and sort of audit was a key part of that, not quite the tail end of it, but it was a sort of, a key element of checking what's happening and feeding back in as well. I mean, that's the whole point here, isn't it? Sort of it's, you become part of that broader business change and process as well. All right, I don't know if you've got any final thoughts on sort of audit as a career.
I think many people should try this because, like security consulting or 27001 assessments, it gives you an opportunity to look across the organization. And if you look through some audit studies or audit reports, you quickly figure out, where the focus needs to be, where investment should be focused on, where it should be pointed, that this part of the organization actually is under-resourced or it hasn't advanced as much as everywhere else is. So that it gives you a view that probably none of the other careers do. So I think from that perspective, if someone was to start their careers in audit and then figure out which area they have affinity with, then it probably leads to a better longer-term career progress.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, sounds really good. I would thank all our guests. Thank you, Barrett, for setting this up as well. Thank you for broadening my view of what audit is all about. Certainly shown how useful it can be, how it's sort of transformational as well. I think that's quite a rare aspect of, so some information security careers, that it can, like I say, really make a difference to an organization. And I guess without it as well, a lot of organizations are just fumbling in the dark. They don't know whether what they're doing is useful. Then so really, I think auditors should not be feared. They should be welcomed. I think it's if we can close on that. But thank you for listening. Tell your friends. You can now find ISF Podcast on all major podcast platforms. We do have a page on Audioboom where you can subscribe, but a quick search will find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and pretty much everywhere they are available. Podcasts are also downloadable on securityforum.org, where you can also learn much more about ISF research, tools, and guidance.